Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to podcast episode number 72. I'm Matt Halloran. And today we have a guest that I really wish I would have known about Willa many, many years ago. And in fact, I was on a call today with a prospective podcasting client for Top Advisor Marketing. And the problem he presented ended up, I just realized that, and referred Willa to this advisor because she's got 35 years of sales experience. If you have thought of it in financial services, she has sold it. She's the founder of The New Language of Sales. And we are going to talk about sales today. Now, we normally talk about marketing, but good marketing has to lead to sales. And that's where Willa picks up. Willa, thank you and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Matt, and thank you for the lovely lead-in to the topic that I'd like to cover today, which is referrals. And as Matt was mentioning, I've been in sales for 35 years. I hate to mention that. I seem a little long in the tooth when I say that. Mm-hmm. I did my coach training. I went to Coaches Training Institute in 99, and then in the year 2000, hung out my shingle, combined everything that I love in life, which is sales and coaching. I still walk the talk in sales, love it. I'm one of the 22 people on the planet who really love to cold call. Give me a phone number and I'm on it like a dog on a bone. But there's only 22 of us out there and I know them all by first name. But on this call, I'd really like to cover a topic that I know is really, really of interest to all of my clients. And there's a lot of buzz out there about referrals. A lot of books written, a lot of websites, a lot of podcasts like this one, a lot of webinars. And frankly, it breaks my heart because if it all worked as well as everyone claims it would work, we'd all be having 2 and 3 referrals a month. There'd be no need for any other sales activities. All of my advisors would be pulling in 10, 20 million a year in additional revenue, and everything would be great. And we know that's simply not the case. It's not working as well out there as everybody would like to see referrals working.
So what are we missing? What's going on? Because you're right. Everybody talks about referrals. I mean, we wrote a paper called Death by Referrals because I think we're philosophically in line with where you're going to go with the podcast today. But what are they doing wrong? What's missing? Help.
And so I'm really glad you asked, Matt. There's several things missing. And this all comes from my coach training and understanding how human beings are designed. This is not psychology. This is simply how the human brain works. And without these really important elements, we're just stabbing in the dark, hoping that someone is going to give us a name. And so the first thing that I really love to really put a lot of weight on is your attitude when it comes to asking for a referral. Typically, we go into the referral conversation with an attitude of, I want to get a name from you. That's why we're asking. Sure. You want to get a name. Now, having that kind of an attitude is really, really difficult to be at the receiving end of. We don't like it. There's something uncomfortable about being at the receiving end of a conversation when someone's trying to get something from us. And the bottom line is, it's not your client's responsibility to build your business for you. So if I'm your client and I'm paying you $10,000, $20,000 a year to manage my portfolio, it's not my job to help you sell your business. You go out there and do it on your own. That's your job. Mm-hmm. So that's the first element. It's that attitude of shifting it from, I want to get something from you, to an attitude of contribution. And I'll go over that a little bit later on about how that attitude fits in. And I just want to cover up a few of the other areas that are completely missing. So inside of that attitude of I want to get something, we create our conversations around that. How do I get my client to tell me a name? So that's the first thing we need to look at is how we ask for referrals. That's the first area that I really do focus on. The second area is, now this is really heavy duty into my coach training and understanding how people are designed. If you're not asking for referrals on a regular and consistent basis, there's a concern. End of story. There's a concern. The major concerns that I've seen, and I want your feedback on this, Matt, The major concerns I see out there are the concern about putting your client on the spot. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put them on the spot. I don't want to look too pushy or mm-hmm. aggressive. So, Matt, have you seen other concerns other than those two big ones?
The how.
I just put Matt on the spot.
Well, you did. That's fine. The how is the other big thing. You know, I've had advisors who have gone everything from the who do you know statement to having a blank piece of paper with numbers written on it and say, who are your three closest work associates? Who are the three closest? I mean, they're very, very aggressive. Would you sign this letter that we've pre-written to that prospect? But I want to talk about regular and consistent basis. Well, actually, I want to talk about both of them, but I'm going to start with regular and consistent basis. What about practice, right? So as a coach, since you and I both went through very similar training, practice is really important. If you're not asking on a regular and consistent basis, do you think that falling out of practice is one of the reasons why it doesn't come off as smooth?
Yes. So you're absolutely right on, spot on. In order to learn anything new, what happens is it gets really uncomfortable for us, and then it's not as smooth as even your old methodology was, even though it wasn't producing results. At least you were comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. So what starts happening over time is we start letting go of any kind of new behavior and slide right back into the old behavior, and I forgot to ask. Mm-hmm. And this is really huge. And I love that you mentioned this. And I'm going to give you some really great verbiage. And by the way, I've got a link that Matt's going to share with you that's going to give you all this verbiage. You don't have to sit there with your pen and try to capture it all.
Oh.
So some of the other areas that are really impacting advisors is not understanding why people refer and who refers. So the first thing to recognize is why people refer. And these are pretty well covered by many different areas. There's two things that go on for human beings. We have a massive desire and drive to look good. And on the flip side, one of our biggest fears as human beings is looking bad. No one wants to look bad or stupid or incompetent. That's what we really drive not to have happen. This is our biggest concern. So we always want to look good. So when you're asking for referrals, keep in mind that the two major reasons why people give referrals is the fact that they can look good. It's either, I want to look smart and wonderful. What do you mean you lost 10% last year? My guy made me X amount. You should talk to my guy. That's a looking good moment. Look how smart I am by choosing my guy or my gal. Then the other way that we want to refer, the other avenue of referral, is by helping people that we care about. So if my aunt or uncle or cousin or niece or nephew or daughter is having trouble financially, I want to help them out. Therefore, I want to refer them to my advisor. So those are the two reasons that people refer, is looking good because I'm looking real smart. My guy's really good. My gal knows what she's doing. Or I really want to help somebody that I care about. The next piece, and this is so critical, you all need to understand this, who refers. There is only roughly 20% of the general population who have what we've referred to as referral DNA. These are connectors. These are people who don't have the concern of looking bad. This is the people who are happy to introduce and to connect people to one another. The other 80% have that concern of looking bad. And how that translates is, oh, if I introduce them and if it doesn't go well, it will look bad on me. I don't want to introduce them. I don't want to take that risk of having my friend, family, or associate come back and say, oh my goodness, who the heck did you introduce me to? I can't believe that you did that. That's a big fear, the looking bad thing. So 80% of the general population has a concern of looking bad. And therefore, we want to take those people down the referral avenue far more gently. This is where the practice and consistency comes in. So if they feel comfortable that you're consistently asking, that you're not occurring as pushy or salesy, and they're feeling a little bit more comfortable inside of your approach, they're a little more likely to introduce you. So I don't like to focus too much of my time and energy on those 80%. We keep them simmering on the back burner. But the ones who are in the full boil on the front burner are the 20% with referral DNA. And how you find these people is you're going to ask yourself, who has actually referred someone to me in the past year, not someone who's gonna. Oh, yeah, I've got somebody I want to introduce you, but I'm going to call them first. That is not what you're looking for. You're paying attention and tracking. That word is so huge. Tracking the ones who are actually introducing you to other people. I'd like you to meet Joe Smith. Here's his phone number. Give him a shout. Oh, I'm having a thing going on at my house. Come on down. I want to introduce you to Carol. Those are the people who have referral DNA. These are the ones that you want to track. These are the ones that we can be extremely direct to. I call them we because I'm a connector. You can ask me every week, Willa, who'd you meet last week and who can you introduce me to? I'd go into my calendar and look. This is just who we are as connectors. We love doing it. You want to take advantage of that. So the why and the who are really, really critical and important.
So Willa, with that 20%, though, is it helpful for you to go to that 20% after you've identified them with a specific name that you might have done some research on the front end and said, hey, Willa, do you know Joe Lucas? I noticed that that you guys are connected on LinkedIn. I don't always know if that's a real connection or not. Tell me about that.
Genius. I think that is absolutely a brilliant approach, Matt. As a matter of fact, I'm going to add that to my roster of tools, because that was a really good one. That would work incredibly well with anybody who has referred to you in the past. These are the ones, of course, with referral DNA. It would work brilliantly with someone with referral DNA. It's my pleasure to connect you. Give me lots of pleasure is what you're doing when you're asking that question.
So these people that are the 80% that we're going to just kind of drip on and continue to apply gentle pressure to, you have information about this. And in fact, this is one of the components that people can hire you for to help them build. Is that correct?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go into this in just a moment as to what you can say. I want to give you the actual tool of what you can say. And you'll notice that it's actually quite opposite of what's going on in the marketplace right now. It really does embody contribution versus I want a name. Give me a name. And a perfect example, one of my clients, she's out in BC, very, very uncomfortable in this whole realm. And I've been working with her for nigh on a year now. We've been really, really working hard on bringing up her confidence in this area. She's done very well. She's just not asking for referrals. With this approach, she is now, after months of practice, she is now asking for referrals at every single client interaction. And it's more comfortable for her. Her clients are looking at her with a big smile on their face. They are not feeling pressured in any way. She's setting up lunches with her clients and somebody that they want to introduce her to. It's working exceptionally well. And it's all about how you approach it and the consistency. And it's now working. And the consistency is what we really need with the ones who do not have referral DNA. And I really want to jump right in and give you the verbiage. It's all going to be on my document. Matt will send it out. It will be all available to you. The first question I always ask my advisors, and I know the answer is I've never heard anything other than yes, but I'm going to ask the question anyway so that you can answer it in your own head. If your client came to you and said, Uncle Fred has concerns about his retirement, would you sit down and talk to him? I don't know an advisor who would say no. I'm thinking everybody who is listening to this podcast in the little verbiage in their head would go, of course I'd sit down with them. Yes. Now, how many of you have actually told your clients that? Shockingly few in my experience. So here's the verbiage. This happens at the end of your client review or at the end of every interaction with your client when you want to let them know about all the services that they're entitled to vis-a-vis the fees that they pay. Notice the word I used, entitled. That is such a huge word. Here are all the services that you're entitled to, and I want to make sure that you're taking full advantage of them. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of why that little word triggers so heavily in human beings. I'm going to use my own life as an example. I'm a typical woman, and I got shoes. I got lots of shoes, and I keep my shoes for 10 to 20 years. I love my shoes. And I would say it's about 8 or 9 years ago, I bought a little pair of red shoes for the summer. and they have a quite unique heel. So the bottom of the heel is round. And as I was checking out at the checkout, at the cashier, they said, oh, when you buy these shoes, you're entitled to get these little round black pieces of plastic, you know, the little pieces of rubber at the bottom of the shoes, as replacement because the heel is so unique. I said, of course I want them. I'm paying for them. Put them in the box. Do you know that those little pieces of black rubber, 9 years, eight or nine years later, are still sitting in my dresser drawer? I won't throw them out. I'll never use them. I've never worn out the bottom of my shoes before. I have too many shoes. And yet I won't throw them out. Why? I paid for them. I'm entitled to them. And I want them. So that's the first thing to recognize, is always to tell your clients about all the services that they're entitled to. If you've got your insurance license, you want to make sure that they understand that. You want to make sure that they understand that you can do all these different services, financial plans, retirement plans, planning for the unplanned and unexpected. That's the insurance, education. And as part of the services that you're entitled to, I allocate 1 or 2 hours a week for all of my clients, friends, family, or associates, or any of my clients, friends, family, associates, to come in so I can share ideas or they can use me as a sounding board. That's how you train your clients. As part of the services that you're entitled to, I allocate 1 or 2 hours a week to all of my clients, friends, family, or associates to come on in to pick my brain, share ideas, or just use me as a sounding board. It's an offer. It's not an ask. Hi, who do you know? If you love my services, do you know somebody who would enjoy that? No. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know anybody. Thanks so much. No, I don't know anyone. Now you offer it, and that's a completely different conversation. And that is what helps those 80% get comfortable with this. Every single time you're in front of them, I want to make sure that you understand the full scope of services that you're entitled to, walk them through everything, and as part of your as part of the services you're entitled to, I allocate 2 hours a week. That's the new model. Now, I want to give you some other tools as well, because that could be, how do you even approach this topic of referrals other than going through the here the list of services that you're entitled to? It can be a little tricky to transition from here's your portfolio, here's all the wonderful things that we've done this year, here's how we're rebalancing, and here's I want a referral request. So these are all these techniques are not mine, and I have to share that with you. I interviewed two of the most successful teams in Canada with regards to referrals. And they were very, very kind and generous. They shared all their approaches. I combined them all, which is what you're hearing now. These teams get a referral every single time they're sitting in front of a client. I don't even want to tell you how big their business is. It's massive. And this is how they do it. So the first step is get them talking about people in their lives. Why? Because even as someone like myself who has referral DNA, if you were to say to me, who can you introduce me to? Here's what I do. I start going through A's. Who do I know? A's. No, A's. I can't think of any A's. B's. No, maybe Bob. No, Bob's retired. He's not. You're retired. There's Carol. No, Carol's happy. That's what I do in my head. I go through A to Z in my head. So what you want to do is help them narrow the Rolodex in their head. So how you do approach it is just start asking them about one area of their life. Oh, I know that you've got the little league going. How's that going with you? How's work going? I know that you've got a little promotion, or that your business is expanding, or a little stressful at work. How's that going for you? Oh, I know you're very active in your local community theater. How's that going for you? You want to bring up an area of their life. So instantaneously, they've got a group of people in their head. They're now seeing their community theater and all the people in the community theater that they work with. Then you want to transition into a financial services conversation. And all this is being really straight and honest with them. I've been noticing that a lot of people right now are really concerned about the volatility in the market. And just be honest about some of the conversations that you're noticing. I notice that a lot of the people I'm talking to now are concerned about retirement, wondering if they're going to have enough. I notice now we're past this time, or actually we're at the right time. I notice a lot of people are concerned with the tax bill that they just had. You know, are you noticing anyone having those kinds of conversations? So now I've got my local theater group in my head, and I'm now thinking of the beer that we just had. And as a matter of fact, yeah, Fred was really concerned. He didn't know if he was going to have enough to retire on. Now you make the ask, would it help to have a brief conversation with me? Well, it might. Now, here's where you're going to help out the people with the people who do not have referral DNA. What would be the most comfortable way to make the introduction? I don't ever want Fred to feel that he's going to be at the receiving end of a sales pitch. Perhaps lunch? We can all get together. And I want you to know, Mr. Client, that you're going to introduce me as an advisor. If Fred has a question, he'll bring it up at lunch. If he doesn't have a question, I'm not going to talk about financial services. It's going to be up to Fred to ask the question. So now what you're doing is telling your people without referral DNA that it's safe to introduce you to people. There will be no sales pitch, no value proposition, no elevator speech. We're just going to have a great conversation. And if they've got questions, they'll ask me and I'm there to answer them. And that is my approach. And with people with referral DNA, this approach is going to land beautifully. And with the people without referral DNA, what's going to start happening is we're going to start training them that it's safe. And hopefully over time, they'll be more comfortable introducing you to people that they know.
Well, let's talk about the time frame on that, Willa. So how long does it take, in your experience, for those 80% who don't have the referral DNA to, or how long does it take for the advisor to train the 80% to have that conversation or to start seeing those things?
Well, I've got the answer to that. It could be anywhere from 1 week to 20 years.
I'd like you to be a little bit more specific than that, but that's okay. All right.
Here's the thing. I'm going to give you an example. It's not about referrals, but it's an example about training your clients. Mm-hmm. I train my clients, and here's how I do it. I'm going to give you the perfect example. I don't know how many of you go back far enough. Phil Akers at TD Waterhouse. I was calling Phil for over 5 years before he was at that point that he said, fine, Willa, let's start looking at putting your programs for all of our advisors. And over the course of those 5 years, here's what the conversations look like. At the end of every single conversation, I would say to Phil, so Phil, what's our next step? Well, I have to talk to Dave and see if we're going to, you know, bring this up the food chain and see if we want to have budgets. When will you be talking to Dave? Well, I'll be talking to him a week from Friday. Oh, okay. So that brings us, I'm looking at my calendar now. So a week from Friday would be on the 19th or the 26th. I'm looking at my calendar the week of the 28th. When's a good time for me to touch base with you, Phil? Oh, call me Tuesday. So Tuesday the 29th, what's a good time? 2 p.m. And within 30 seconds, he'd have an Outlook invitation. Now, we're going to fast forward. Over the months, he brought me in. He did a little test to see if he liked me at the front of the room. Obviously, I passed because we kept the conversation moving forward. So at the end of the day, at the little workshop that I ran, at the end of every meeting, what's our next step? The same process. So our next step is I need to do this. And then I would say, when would you do that, Bun? He'd tell me, when should I touch base? He'd tell me. Then I would say, send him an Outlook invitation. Fast forward 9 months of these kind of conversations, because we were in touch quite frequently towards the end of the 5 years. So fast forward 9 months, here's what the conversation looked like. And I'm going to give you two examples of how I trained him. So Willa, what's going to happen is I need to talk to Dave again. We're going to see if we have to, if we can put that in our budget for this year. I'm going to be talking to him on Friday. He typically always talk to Dave on Friday. Why don't you give me a shout on Monday? Does 2 o'clock work for you? Yeah. You'll send me the Outlook invitation, Willa? Yeah. That took 9 months. Fast forward to when he signed, when he said, Willa, we've got the budget. Come on in. He said, I'm going to call you in 2 weeks and let you know what our next step is. He got dead silence on the phone. Then I giggled and I said, So Phil, you know, I get stressed out if things aren't in my calendar, but we've been working together long enough. I know you're going to call me in 2 weeks. He said, Willa, let's make your stress level go down. We'll put it in the calendar. I'll send you the Outlook invitation and we'll get a book. That's how you train your clients. So that's an example. How long did it take with Phil? It took 5 years, but 9 months of extensive training before he knew that when we get off the phone, we have every single step mapped out, that I know what I'm accountable for and he knows what he's accountable for before we end our call.
Part of your unique skill set is that persistence, right? Which not all of our clients, the financial services professionals have. They'll try for X amount of time and then they just give up. You talked about attitude right at the beginning. And as we close up the podcast today, I want to circle back to one of your first points, which was talking about the state of mind that you need to be in order to be successful in asking for referrals. Attitude is, I think, is key in just, well, life in general. But I think it can just tell by how you talk and your attitude that that's something that you bring as a human being. But one of my mentors, who actually was the owner of my old company, somebody I look up to greatly, I asked him what was the greatest sales piece of advice he ever had. And he said, visualize the close. And I always like to bring that up as not just practice, but also the state of mind that you're going to be in, and making sure that you're in the right mindset when you're walking into a meeting. And for this, it would be visualize the referral. What do you think about that?
I'm on board with that. The only thing that didn't land as well for me is visualizing the close, because that comes from a point of view of I want to get something from you. Instead of visualizing the close, my personal attitude would be visualize how I can be of service. How can I contribute to this person? What resources, what information, what expertise do I have that would actually make a huge difference in this person's lives and in the lives of the people that they care about? How can I be of service? That's the attitude. And when you've got that attitude of being of service, by making that request, you're coming from a place of heart versus I want to get my greedy little grubby hands on your money. I know you've got 2 million. Come on. Money. I smell money. That prevents that attitude from happening. And in particular, it's a really difficult attitude to take on if you're right in the beginning of building your practice. You're between a rock and a hard place. You've got to pull in those numbers. It's all about your numbers. If you're not going to pull in your numbers, there's about a 70 to 75% failure rate in this industry. You've got to have the numbers. So when you're sitting in there and you've got somebody in front of you with $5 million who, thank the universe, is not particularly happy with their current firm, it's very difficult not to be in that place of, oh, let them close, let them sign, I need the money, this is important to me, I need this new client, versus being in that place of, how can I serve this person? How can I step up to the plate and demonstrate the things that have always been missing for them that are going to have them be inclined to come on board with me? And that's that emotional decision-making place. It's we make our decisions on emotions and then justify them with logic. And so that's the area to be in. When you're in that area of that attitude of contribution, being of service, making a difference, it just transforms the conversation versus I need to get the sale.
Gotcha. Well, we are going to have you back. We talked about that on the podcast before. And newlanguageofsales.com is Willa's website. We're going to have links to all of the stuff that she had talked about in the podcast today to make sure that you all have all of the tools that that she talked about. Closing thoughts, closing statements before we wrap up our episode today.
So I think that the most important area, and Matt and I agree with this, is the attitude. The attitude of walking in there, of transitioning from I want to get a name to I want to be of service to anybody that you know and care about. That's my role here, is to add value. And also, the bottom line is, with that attitude, you're making your client look good to their people.
Mm-hmm. And with that, thank you very much for your thought leadership today, Willa.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure. Anytime.
And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, which would really surprise me, but if you haven't, please make sure you click the subscribe now button below. That time, every time we come out with a great guest like Willa, it'll show up directly on your listening device. My name is Matt Halloran for Willa and all of the team at Top Advisor Marketing. We want to thank you for listening today, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.